We're going to continue on our study. We're on a series about God's protection on our lives and the protection of God. And so we're entitling our message today, Cooperating with God in Protection. Cooperating with God in Protection. And I'm going to read the Psalm, the first couple of verses in Psalm 91, and then we're going to go to our major text about our teaching here. In Psalm 91, I'm reading the King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I'm going to read verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 3 in the New Living says that he'll deliver you from the snare, you know, of the hunter. And, you know, the hunting, you're being hunted by the enemy. The devil is hunting you. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John chapter 10 and verse 10 of the Gospel of John says about Jesus and his, you know, his, or at least the devil's, motivation. He's going to try to kill and steal and destroy the people of God. And so that second part of this, verse 3, said the Lord will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. Well, that doesn't really mean too much in the King James. In modern vernacular, it just means that God will deliver you from every deadly disease. That's what it says in other translations. If you look at it, you know, sometimes people don't understand. They don't understand the Old English, and they don't understand the original language. So that's why you have teachers. God puts teachers in the ministry, and pastors should be teachers. There are some pastors who actually have other kinds of anointing. You can be anointed in one more office than just one office. You can have different kinds of anointing if you're faithful. God will bless you and add on to you different kinds of anointing. He can anoint a pastor to start churches and flow in the apostolic anointing. A pastor can be a teacher, or he can be an evangelist. So the Lord will do that, and praise God. You know, we have teachers. Hallelujah. And you ought to be a teacher, teaching the Word of God. You should tell people, at least everybody should teach. Not everybody's going to be a teacher called of God into the ministry. The Lord has called us, me, myself, to teach across Canada and the message of faith. And that's what the Lord call me for. That's why He sent me to Rhema to sit under Brother Hagin, Dr. Hagin. And the Lord led me in that direction. And so in this city, I'm known more of the faith preacher. And so thank God I'm, you're known for something good. Hallelujah. So anyway, we talked about the protection of God in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what we're talking about. And if you read the rest of the chapters, all the way down to verse 16, you'll see there's something going on in that chapter. And so we're going to talk about that. So we're talking about the protection of God, and we're talking about cooperating with God in our own protection. And our text, let's read again, Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He said, "In peace I will lie down and sleep." Man, that's a good thing to do. Last night I went down to sleep in peace. I went to lie down in perfect peace. He says, "For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Hallelujah. That's wonderful to know. You're going to bed down at night, and you're going to sleep. You're going to sleep in peace. And so we want to we want to talk about this, and the idea of what we're trying to teach this morning, or what we're trying to get across to you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Let's pray to get the importance of what God wants to relay to your heart. Open up your mind, open up your heart, get your mind on the Word today, because this is going to save your life, or save the life of your family member or somebody that you need to help today. These are perilous times. And let's go ahead before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for the power of God in manifestation. I pray, let my teaching, my words not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And let us preach the Word of God with signs and wonders. Let us preach the full gospel. We may preach the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that every eye will be open, every ear open, heart open and receptive to the Word of God. And let us be recipients of all that the Word of God says that we will have. We want to thank you for all the family of God that are watching online. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for anyone else who's not connected necessarily to the ministry. We bless every viewer, no matter if they're Faith City Church members or not. We include every member of the body of Christ and those that are not yet members. We call them into the kingdom of God. We ask the mighty blessing of God that the scales of darkness would begin to be removed and the power of God is in manifestation. That healing will be manifested in the lives and the bodies of people, in the soul realm and also in the physical realm, and also in the area of the material and financial areas. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless. We thank you, Lord God. We send out the blessing in Jesus' name. Before anything manifests, we thank you in advance for what prayer we have uttered. It shall be done in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge. You know, God is your refuge. He's your shelter. He's your fortress. He's your God. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 and 2, verse 3 says that God will deliver you from every trap of the evil one. And he goes on to say in verse 3 that God will deliver you from every deadly disease. And I know many of you are believing that you will not get COVID-19, and you have to believe God and begin to trust him, begin to cooperate with your local authorities and follow what they designed for our protection. And you have to follow the plan and purpose of God according to his word. Thank God for that. What we're going to say, what we're teaching this morning, is that there's two sides of protection. When it comes to protecting ourselves, there are two sides of protection. One, God's side. You know, God has told us in Psalm 91 what he will do. And then our side, or man's side, or woman's side, or a person's side, what we human beings have to do. There's a side that we must perform in order for us to have God's protection. And so the psalmist here in Psalm 91 reveals that when we live under the shelter of God, we will have complete protection. I'm saying complete protection, which is not if so, maybe percentage. No, if you live in God, there's complete protection in God. If you're going to wander off out of the will of God, and you're going to do your own thing, you're still a Christian, you still speak in tongues, you still go to church once in a while, you're going to veer off and do your own thing, that's not going to be for you. You're going to have to learn how to follow what God says. And there's some people, you know, in Romans chapter 12, it differentiates between the perfect will of God, you know, and the acceptable will of God. So you have to understand there is a perfect will of God and there's an acceptable will of God, you know. You're still a Christian, you're just not connected to God and the perfect will. And so when people venture off and do their own thing, you know, things can happen. And so that's what we're talking about today. So we know that the protection of God is not automatic. It just doesn't happen to you just because you happen to be a born-again Christian, or that you believe in God, or that you agree with the Bible. Agreeing with the Bible is not enough to have God's protection in your life. There's something else that you have to do. There are some things that you and I need to begin to participate in terms of what we have to do. And as far as protection, the Bible says that He lays a canopy over us. How he does that in the spiritual realm, I don't really know, but the Bible says time and time we saw in other scriptures that God lays a canopy over us. You know, in fact, Psalm 91 says he shelters us. That's what that word means, a canopy. He shelters us in the protection, in his perfect protection. We see that in scripture in different ways. He uses the bird or the eagle and a chicken, and in the feathers, he uses wings to cover his chicks and little ones, and protects over that. And Jesus himself talks about when he prayed over Israel, he said, "How I would like to gather you as a chick would gather gather in the little chicks, and I would wanted to do that, but you didn't want me to do that," he said, over in Matthew. And so God does. Sheds a canopy over us, and he also sends his angels into our lives. He sends angels. He's done that before, many, many years before you're born. God, you have an angel that's with you now. The scripture says everyone has an angel, and there are other angels as well. And the scripture tells us very clearly that angelic protection is there, but there's some things that you need to do to get them into operation. They're not going to help you when you're robbing a bank. They're not going to help you while you're doing drugs, in a sense. I mean, they'll do what they can to protect you, but they're not going to go and help you make a drug venture. They're not going to go out and if you're going to drive recklessly down the road, you know, when it says 30K and you're driving 100, they're not going to. They can hardly protect you because you're violating the word of God. And so we need to see that in scripture. So he sends his angels to protect us. As heirs of salvation, the Bible says in Hebrews, as God's heirs, that we're heirs of salvation, and we inherit, you know, the kingdom of God, the things that belong to the kingdom of God. And we have angels at our disposal, the scripture says. Now, if you haven't studied in those areas, you need to start studying, or at least follow our ministry. And there's things that we've shown people that you need to get this in manifestation. But also there are other ways that God will protect you. And so we're going to talk another way that God protects today. And so the promise of God, or the promise of protection in Psalm 91, you know, it is a promise of protection, Psalm. It reveals what God will do for our protection and our safety. It also tells us what we are to do in order to have his protection. Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 91, verse 1 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. I want you to see that, and you living. Those who live in the shelter. Now, you have to live in the shelter. You can't just go and live in other places. That is outside of God's protection. It says, notice the term in new living. Those who live in the shelter. The King James says, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. It says here in the New Living, live in the shelter. You have to live in the shelter. You can't just do what you want to do. Live in the household of God. Of the Most High, he says, we'll find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you're all stressed out, you need to get into the shelter and get your rest. Get you some rest, praise God. Amen. Get some rest in your life. You look too tired and sleepy. Thank God. We can find rest. Jesus said, come and learn of me. John 11, I believe, 28, 29. Come to me and you'll find rest. Learn of me and find rest, he says. So you can have rest. John talks about 16:31. Jesus said, in the midst of all the tribulations and trials, you can have peace. Hallelujah. That's a promise of God. And so verse 2 says, this I declare of the Lord. Now, this is something you do. You declare, you decree, you confess, you give testimony. This I declare, this is the scripture saying, this I declare of the Lord. This is the psalmist talking. And this is what you say. This is what I say of Jesus. This is what I say of God. You know, don't be ashamed of it. This is what I say of the Lord, he's saying. This is what you should say of the Lord. What does he say? He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He alone is my God. He alone do I trust, or Him alone do I trust. So you have to say these things as a prayer of confession, or just say that every day. The Bible says, I heard one man of God says, you can either say it or you can pray it. Because when you pray, you're saying something. You don't have to close your eyes and fold your hands and kneel. No, you can just do that anywhere. Just begin to say, thank God, I'm in the shelter of the Most High, and I'm protected by God. You need to say that anywhere, driving down the road. You don't have to get into some religious position. You can do those things when you want to, but you don't have to. You can just say it, praise God. Amen? Verse 3, for He will rescue you. That is, when you say that God alone is your refuge, when you say He's your place of safety, when you say He is your God, when you say that you trust Him. Verse 3, God will rescue you. Now, that's God's part. He will rescue you from every trap. This is the New Living Translation. He'll rescue you from every trap, not just one trap or two traps, but every trap. Why? Because you're in the shelter of the Most High. You dwell in the shelter, in the safety of the Most High. He says, verse 3, He will rescue you from the trap and protect you from deadly disease. You know, the devil, he is trying to, cause you to be sick and cause you to be, ineffective. You know, when you're sick, you can't serve God the way you need to. You need to learn that being healthy is the best way to serve God, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. There are some people that come to church, they're physically there, but they're no good because they're mentally, they're out somewhere else. They can't work with their children. They can't, help in the kitchen. They can't help in the office. They can't help in the music ministry, the children's ministry. They can't help with the television production side. They can't work with young adults, the elderly. They can't work with in the ushering department and the prayer department, and so on and on and on. I could name some more stuff wherever you are. Because why? Because they're mentally not there. They're just emotionally. Some even can't come to church because they're too frightened that someone might hurt them. There are so many people out there in the world. They have all these preconceived ideas what a church is going to be, so they try to itemize when they come to church. They try to figure out if someone's going to hurt them. They're coming with suspicion. They're coming with some kind of a mindset of the devil feeding them all kinds of lies, and they have a checklist to verify whether or not the devil told them what is true. So if God's going to lead you to a church, He's not going to go and assassinate you. Come on now. And so you need to understand that God's going to protect you if He's led you somewhere. Hallelujah. There's a lot of sick people with sick minds out there thinking a lot of stuff that is never going to happen. And so when you expect things to happen, they do happen sometimes because you're the one that's causing it. Praise God. You can say amen because that's true. A lot of cases. In 2 Timothy 3:1, the Common English Bible says, he says in there, that dangerous times are before us today, and that there are very dangerous people out there, seemingly that they're demonically influenced, and they are. We need to be aware of the enemy's tactics, that he will use even people to slander you, to attack you, to disrupt you, to dissuade you, to hinder you, to immobilize you by different things. Causing you emotional harm so that you're not going to serve God. Causing you some distraction so that you'll get away from the things of God. And so the enemy says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Common English says, understand that the last days will be dangerous times. So we need to understand how to live in these dangerous times. We need to live in the protection of God. Like, think about this. You're driving around and in a motor cage, or what do you call that, your protection, your armor of God, vehicle, praise God. It's wonderful to know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Common English says that we shouldn't be taken advantage of by the enemy, by Satan, because we're well aware of his schemes. It's an education for you to understand about Satan and his devices and his schemes or his tactics. Understand how he uses, if you can understand the enemy, you can avoid his tactics. You can, if you understand the men of God sent to your life and the people of God sent to your life, you can stay clear of the traps because God has laid people there to help you get along, go along and navigate through life and avoid the devil's traps. Is it God's perfect will for you to be safe always? Absolutely, yes. No matter what is occurring around the world, yes, God will protect you from all evil. The Bible says it so. The devil has a plan to kill, to steal, and destroy. If he's allowed to attack you, he'll attack you. Here's what the Apostle Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8, the New Living Translation says, stay alert. You know, some people they're not alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, he's not there to make you feel bad. He's there to kill you. He's not there to play games with you. He's going to try to kill you and take you out so that there's one less person that he has to be concerned about that's doing the will of God and spreading the good news and helping other people to find the living God. He'll do it if you let him. In Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, it says, Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, which a church that he started. He pastored for a short time. He helped them, in a sense there. He began to get these people going. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the wiles of the devil. Verse 10 and 11 says, you will be able to stand firm in the wiles of the devil. That word, wiles in the King James says, the strategies, the tactics of the devil. When you get strong in the Lord, you get strong in the Word of God, you get it, and His mighty power, His Holy Spirit, is going to protect you from all the tricks of the enemy because you're going to have the Word and the Spirit. You're going to have the wisdom of God and the mighty power of God working for you when you put on this armor of God, when you begin to get into the Word. We must be fully alert and understand that other people are suffering all over the world, not just you. Sometimes, you might feel alone. You're the only one in the whole world suffering from this effects of the coronavirus, COVID-19. You say, I'm the only one that's suffering. I'm the only one that's having a hard time. And then the devil make you feel, oh, poor you. You've been stuck outside. You need to go shopping. Buy something. Buy a new television. Get 3 televisions and put them in every room so that you won't be alone. And play loud music and whatever. No, the devil wants you to get into the debt and get in more trouble when you think you're the only one that's having this trouble. No, you're not the only one. 1 Peter 5, 9 says, New Living, stand firm against him. In other words, you're going to have to get strong against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So you're not alone. The Holy Spirit, God by His Holy Spirit, is telling us through this Apostle Peter that you're not the only one suffering. There are other people all over, not just in Thunder Bay, not just through in Ontario or Canada, but all over the world, they're suffering similar situations. Psalm 46, I love this psalm. It's one of my favorite. Psalm 46, 1, I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read this verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. When you're weak in the morning, you say, God is my strength. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning, you're feeling a little bit down physically. He said, God is my strength. Going through trials, there's times I went through trials and I got to do a lot of things. I got to drive to Toronto. I didn't have the ability to catch a flight because it was, short term. I had to leave right away during the nighttime. And there's times that I slept 3 hours and I had to go to Toronto. There's something happening. And I drove all the way to Toronto. And I said, God is the strength of my life. There's sometimes you have to do certain things. Now, I don't do that all the time. There's sometimes you have to do certain things. And you have to trust God that He's going to be your strength. So He's your strength. And He's always ready to help in the time of trouble, the Psalm 46, 1 says. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. Understand this. Listen, saint. Understand this, that God is able and He's willing to help you right now if you'll start cooperating with Him. Now listen up. You must do your part. Psalm 91 describes what God will do when we do our part. One must know how to use protection, how to stay protected. Every one of us needs protection in this day because these are dangerous times. You don't even have to go outside of your door to get assaulted. You could be assaulted through your internet and through all kinds of stuff, and the enemy will try to get in, infiltrate into your home. And so, you know, you have to have protection. That you could be sitting in your own home, and the devil will bombard your mind with different thoughts and hit you with anxiety and an anxiety attack that it seems so real that you need to go to the emergency. I've had those happen to me before, and I began to get on top of it, and God showed me how to never have another anxiety attack. Praise God. I used to have them, but I quit having them. Why? Because I understand something about the Word of God. Glory to God. And I said, I will not have any more fears. I will stop being afraid. I will not be afraid any longer. I found out in the Word how to do that, and you can too. Hallelujah. So protection, or any kind of protection, is useless in some kind of attack without any kind of training or any prior knowledge about how to protect yourself. You know, you can buy a protection, safety protection, home protection, security system for your home, but if you never use it and you didn't know how to operate it, that's not going to protect you. You could have cameras in every room, every doorway, and every window, but if you didn't know how to use it, you didn't know how to, you know, begin to use and insulate yourself, you would never be safe because you didn't use the safety protection like the manual said. How to turn it on, how to put the cameras on, how to turn on the window, what do you call these little things you put on the window so that, you know, when they open the window, the alarm goes off, or if someone jumps through the door or whatever, some way, you know, to do that. So the enemy would come in without being undetected. He comes in and comes to your house. See, you have to understand that God has an instruction for us how to protect ourselves as well. We need to do something to cooperate with God. God gives you the protection. He gives you the manual. He gives you all that. But if you don't read the manual and follow, you're not going to have protection. You have to understand that. So many have protection, but they're not using it. And so they're being assaulted. You wonder why, what's going on? You say, why are the good things or bad things happen to good people? People always say, why does bad things happen to good people? They were a Christian. That man was a pastor. He served God, and he died at 46. Well, I don't know why he died, but I know what the Bible says. There's some things that we need to do, whether you're a pastor, call of God or not. You need to protect yourself and use the protection of God. Not everybody has full revelation of these kind of things. Hallelujah. I've known people who passed on early in life. They knew different things, but maybe they didn't know everything. We need to understand. Stay in the Word of God. So we must do our part, and God will do His part. And Psalm 91 said there's a God side and a man side. So we must put the protection system into play, so to speak, so that we'll be protected. Well, how do you put the security system that God has given us into motion so that if the cameras need to work, we can see the enemy approaching? And if it's a dark time and the camera went out and you still have, you know, the window tacks are put in, and if the enemy opens the window, the security system will alarm. If somebody comes through the door, you know, the tacks are within the door, and if he opens the door opens, and the alarm will be set off. And inside cameras are on, and you got yourself well protected. And if you have a certain safety room, you want to get your gun or whatever you got there, or your broom, and protect yourself. You don't want to get a broom because you don't want to, you know, you might clean the mess up. So, how do you put the protection into effect? The Bible says, in the right away, in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. This is how you put the protection system into motion. The protection system goes into motion that God has given you. It's voice activated. So you have to say something. It's like when you say something, the angels go into motion as well. So you must say something. No, Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we have our part to play if we're going to enjoy God's mighty protection. Notice Psalm 91 again. We must abide under his shadow. That's what we do. We put ourselves in the shadow of the Almighty. We put ourselves in the shelter of the Most High. We must take responsibility and begin to get in there. And in verse 2, we must begin to say, I will save the Lord. That we must open our mouth and say what God says. Say something about what God said he's going to do. Say what he said. It says here, when you make the confession, in verse 3, according to Psalm 91, when you make the confession, you say, he will rescue you, or say it this way, he will rescue me from every deadly trap. He will rescue me and protect me from every deadly disease. You need to say that. That's how the protection system begins to operate. If a poisonous snake bites you, protection will be yours. If you've said that. If you're near toxins in the air or on different surfaces or just in the air, God will protect you. That's what the Bible says. You have to believe this. If you come in contact with a deadly virus or germ, God will protect you. And like Paul did when a deadly snake bit him in Acts 28:1-6, the Bible talks about in the New Living Translation, it said once we, Acts 28:1-6, once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on an island of Melita. Notice this, that Paul survived the seas, and they were totally shipwrecked, lost the ship and all the stuff that's on there. Imagine if you're an owner of that ship and all you're responsible, all the cargo, you didn't have any kind of insurance, you'd lose your company, you lose your ship, you lose all the stuff that's there that people trust you with. Man, that's tough, losing everything. But they got to the shore, and it starts in verse 2. Now they escaped the sea. Now they're on shore. We pick it up in 28:1. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Melita. Verse 2. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. Verse 3. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. Verse 4. The people of the island saw it was hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. So they had a certain kind of believing about how, what happens to people, just like us today. Verse 5. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or die, suddenly dropped dead. Verse 6, but when they had waited a long time, they saw he wasn't harmed. They changed their mind and decided he was a god. Well, they had some all kinds of thinking there, but the Bible tells us he shook the snake off and he was unharmed. The people were waiting for him to die, but he didn't die. Why? Because God protected him. He was to go to Rome. It was God's will that he go to Rome. Rome. God, that's my Ojibwe accent coming out. I always blame that because, if I don't say the right thing at the right time. So anyway, let's go back to this here. So you know what? God spoke to him over in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. God spoke to him, he says, God, Paul, you must appear before kings and so on and so forth. Then and further on, he said he was going to go to, it says in there that he appealed to Caesar, and God says, you have to go to Caesar, you're going to go to Caesar. And they had this trouble when they were in the sea, in the shipwreck. Before the shipwreck, God told them, I'm going to save you and all the people out of there. And then now they're over here. He got bitten with a snake, and it was God's will for him to go to Rome before Caesar. Now, this is snake's supposed to kill him. But because he's in the protection of the Most High, he's staying in the will of God, he was able to be saved. He didn't die. So you can see deadly illnesses or deadly things can happen You know, you get bit by a snake in some foreign country, there's no emergency, there's no antidote, you're going to die. But in this thing, God's showing us through his mighty word that you can be safe no matter who, where you are, if anything happens to you, if you're in the will of God, the plan of God. Now, it'd be scary if you're not in the plan of God. The biggest challenge for all of us in this time, as far as protection is the challenge of learning how to, resist fear. The greatest challenge people have here is fear. It's gripping everybody today, this fear. People acting different ways. Fear is a gigantic tactic the enemy puts out there to stop people from moving on with God and his plans. You have to face fear if you're going to accomplish God's will for your life. Faith is the antidote for fear. I'm going to say that again. Faith is the antidote for fear. Whenever the devil brings that fear on you, you're going to rise up. You have to rise up in faith. Stand strong in the Lord. Get into the Word of God and begin to fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. You know, this church we pastor is called Faith City Church. God put that in my heart. I got that through Revelation when I was praying. When I was in Tulsa, the Lord, I said, pray every night. So I'd pray every night. I'd walk maybe 40 minutes every night, praying in the Holy Ghost, night after night, praying in the Holy Ghost. Didn't pray in English. I prayed in the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, I heard the word of the Lord say to me, when you go back home, you're going to change your ministry and birth a new ministry. This ministry will be called Faith City Church. That came out of my spirit. It didn't come out of my mind. It came out of my spirit. Praying in tongues. I got sensitive before God every night, praying in the Holy Ghost. Never prayed in English. I prayed in tongues every night, 40 minutes, day after day, or night after night, praying in the Holy Ghost. And suddenly, the word of the Lord came unto me. I knew exactly what I'm going to do. It's called Faith City Church. It's not called Fear City Church. It's called Faith City Church. Not Fear City. Faith City. So if you want to get some faith, come on, visit us. We got lots to spare. Praise God. God give you some faith when you come to Faith City Church. If you come in with a clear, good mind, and if you come with a negative mind, you can get hurt anywhere. Praise God. It's not our responsibility if you get hurt. No evil will come near you, the Bible says. Let's look at here. If you live under the shelter of the Most High, now can God protect you? And the Bible says, yes, he will. Will something hurt you? No, nothing will hurt you. Verse 7 in the book of Psalm says this, New Living, though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. You're going to have to say, although people might be dying around me, COVID's everywhere around me, when I'm going to the marketplace, when I'm going out to do my business in the banks and wherever I am, these evils will not touch me. Now, can you say that by faith? Some of you can't say it by faith because you haven't built up the resistance, you know. They said that they're going to inject you with something that is going to resist this illness afterwards. No, resist yourself. Put the Word of God and inject yourself with the Word of God every day, and then you can repel the attacks of the enemy. Begin to believe God. You know, even if you get hit by it a little bit, you're going to live and not die. Psalm 118, I believe, verse 17. It says, I will live and I'll not die. I will live and not die, and I'll declare the works of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to give testimony how God saved me from a deadly situation. I was dying, but I lived, praise God. Amen? Psalm 118, I believe, verse 17, or 117, verse 18. I believe it's 117, verse 18. It says, I'll live and not die, and I'll declare the works of the Lord. You need to say that. If you're sick, say that. I will live and I'll not die, and I'll declare the works of the Lord. In other words, God, I'm going to tell people how you saved me. Hallelujah, if that be you. So why will not these evils touch you? Why? They will not come near you. Verse 5 and 6, because you're not in fear. Because you're not in fear, it'll not come near you. If you're not in fear, you're in faith. Psalm 91, verse 5 and 6, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. And you have to say this, I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night. I will not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. I'll not be afraid of the dreaded diseases that stalks in darkness. I'll not be afraid of the disaster that strikes at midday, right in the middle of the day. Being afraid to die subjugates you to all kinds of bondages. If you're living in fear, constantly fearing of everything, there's a lot of people that I know that are afraid of everything. Afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid all the time. They're fraidy cats. Don't be a fraidy cat. You know, be like our little bulldogs at home. They see a big dog, they want to attack it. They're just small bulldogs. They want to attack a huge dog. They think they're a big dog. But lucky I'm there to save them. I'm hope that I can save them all the time. But maybe not sometimes. But I'm going to keep my confession that I'm saving them all the time. I don't want them to die, my bulldogs. I love those dogs. First of all, I hated them one time, but now I'm loving them more and more, praise God. I'm keeping my confession up. When I first saw these bulldogs, we were in California. My kids said, wow, what a beautiful dog. You know, I said, what are those dogs? They're flat-faced and, you know, like a bat head. They said, oh, there's a beautiful dog. I said, those are awful dogs. What are those dogs called? Oh, they're French bulldogs. And then because the kids loved them, I started to love them after. So finally, when God paid lots of money for these dogs, started having my own dogs. Now I'm looking for a female. If you got a female, come visit me, and we'll make a deal. Okay, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings. This is over here, the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power to death. Another, by Jesus dying on the cross and taking back the power away from him and rising from the dead, the devil had the power of death and Jesus took back. Verse 15 says, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. You know, You can't be afraid of dying. You know, as a Christian, you have to get over this because you understand that dying is just a passage. You know, dying, physical dying, you know, you just go into another realm. And it's like if you died, I know people who've died, it's like you're nothing happened. It's like you just went into another realm. You know, you know you're conscious of that. You're conscious as you're dying. You're conscious of going into the outer realm. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of God. So we need to get over that. So we have to live courageously. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, be on your guard, stand firm in faith, be courageous, be strong. That's strong words. You need to put that on your status today. I'm on my guard, I'm standing firm in my faith, I'm courageous, and I'm strong. Praise God. You know, I'm going to say, Roma, strong. Roma, courageous. Roma, faith, firm in faith. Roma, on guard, praise God. But Roma, strong. Faith, strong. Faith City, strong. John, strong. Joanne, strong. Janice, strong. Whoever you are, say that to yourself. Living courageously does not mean there's an absence of fear. No, it means that you live and walk by faith in spite of fear. God told Israel not to fear the enemy, no matter how much bigger they appear. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1, when you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and army greater than your own, do not be afraid. For the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. In other words, the one who brought you into the kingdom of God, the one who birthed you through the born-again experience, he is with you. Living as a coward is the worst thing all of us can, you know, do. But, you know, we need to live in faith. When you live and step, when you step out, and when you die, you know, this whole thing of not coming, overcoming the fear of dying, you step into the realm of God. Don't run, you know. Don't run away. Begin to face your fear. Let's go to Psalm 91. If you make the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your shelter, the Bible says, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, verse 10 says, verse 91:10. It will not come near your home. No plague will come in your home. Begin to confess that no plague or evil will come near my home, Psalm 91:10. Verse 11 says, for he'll order his angels to protect you wherever you go. In other words, take your angels with you when you go. It says, angels, In the name of Jesus, the Bible says that your ministering spirits cover my car as we travel, that no oncoming vehicle is going to strike me, or from the back, or no moose going to come run out and attack me or hit my car. You know, once I was driving down the road really fast, and I saw this animal coming. It come right against my windshield like this. I saw the eyeball to eyeball, and I looked. It was a deer. I saw his eyeball, and my eyeballs happened so quick, and it just went away. An angel was there. Hallelujah. Protecting me. So God has another way to protect you. Let's go and talk about this a few minutes. Let's take a look at Proverbs 27. We see a revelation of how God protects you. As we have seen from our other studies, that God hovers over his people with the wings as a canopy, with his wings as canopy, and his angels around to protect. We saw that in other studies. Here's another way that God will protect us. It's not so spectacular as a big angel visibly seen through your naked eye or through your spirit eye, but it's necessary and very important, another way that God will protect you. Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 12. The New Living says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. Are you a prudent person? It says, a simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Holy Spirit will show you the future of a future event. In fact, John 16:13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. God will show you things. God has showed me different things about the future. When I had a storm come in my life, God showed me something. And he said, this is what you should go, this is how you should be, this is how you should act. But I was not always obedient to listen to that. And I almost went to another direction because I wasn't as sensitive as I should be. But God showed me how to survive. And I was able to survive. And so, because he'll show you about the future. Without people listening, they can suffer hurt and even die. In Proverbs 27 and verse 12, the Common English Bible says, a prudent prudent people see evil and hide. The simpleton goes right into it and gets punished. So a prudent person and simple-minded person, they both saw the same thing. But only one got hurt. The other thing was saved. God protects you with a canopy and his angels, but he also protects you with warnings. God, this is the thing that we're going to talk to you about, that God will protect you through warnings. Warnings. If you don't hear that and you go right on and don't pay attention, then you can get hurt. Foresight. This prudent man had foresight. He had a premonition or an inward witness. A lot of people are too busy in life, running around, running here, running there, skipping breakfast, not have a prayer time. They don't read the Bible. They go to bed so tired at night, they can't read the Bible, can't pray. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. And they find themselves finally, some drop dead. God says, change your habits. You're running too high. And you wonder why people drop dead. God says, slow down. You don't have to be running. You don't have to be doing all this. And then different things happen to people. So they don't listen to the spirit. They're too much into their soul or their mind. Their thinking is running. Your thinking should not, just only your thinking should not be running your mind. You should be running your life by your spirit and operating on obeying the word of God from your spirit. And then your mind renewed in the word of God so that they'll work cooperatively together. And you change things happen. So the Holy Spirit can speak to our spirits, our inner man. You'll get a check sometimes. How much does it have to cost you to start to listen and start really listening to the premonitions of your spirit? What's going to happen? Like, how much do you have to lose in order for you to start listening? And people have been taken time and time again. They make deals with business partners they shouldn't have, sign deals with people, sign a contract and lose everything. Or they get involved with certain people they shouldn't have been involved with. You know, or to take a trip when they shouldn't have been on the trip. And they end up dying on the trip, or end up getting really sick. You know, I mean, people are suffering. Why, you know, people say this. You ever hear people say this? Why didn't God protect that person? Why didn't God protect that church? Why did God protect that family, that church that was a nice church? It's not there anymore. Why didn't God save that pastor? Why didn't God save that woman, that pastor's wife? Why didn't God? Well, we don't know all those things, but we know for sure that if maybe they listen, we know Psalm 91 says that God wants to give everyone a long life. Maybe it was just listening to God in the area of their, how they eat. Maybe he just had to make some adjustments. Maybe she didn't drive so fast. Maybe they should, you know, exercise or something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe you shouldn't sign that contract. So there's a story about a man that I heard about, you know the big tsunami that they had. I forget what the country that was now over in the, you know, the eastern southern part of the world. The tsunami happened. There was this family who was going over there to do some ministry work and church work. They were going to go to that country there where the tsunami hit. And the wife and the people said, you know, there's something here that we shouldn't be going. And they were about to go and take this missions trip with the family. And it happened, you know, they said, okay, let's put this off until another time, until we get some kind of inward witness, this sense, get over this sense. And what happened is that a terrible tsunami hit that area where they were going, and it saved all their lives. What if that man of God says, no, I'm the man of the house. You woman, you shut up and be quiet. Kids, you're going to come. You're going to come as I tell you. I'm the head of this home. We're going to all go. What if the husband was that stupid? Being a simpleton, run right into the trouble. Well, the wife was smart enough to get some kind of witness. They would all perished. You got to listen to your heart. Like a lot of times, they tell people, you know, I've had a lot of invitations. Let's come on, you know, preach over in India, preach over in Africa. We'll have thousands, hundreds of people come and hear you preach. I'm not looking for preaching to hundreds of thousands of people. The Lord sent me here. Sometimes people come by and say, oh, you're still in Thunder Bay. Yes, I'm still in Thunder Bay. I'm where God put me. It's the best place for me. I don't want to. You go to Africa. You want to go to Africa? You go to Africa. If God calls you there, you go there. That's the best place for you. But me, I'm in the north. I'm closer to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So here, over here, 2 Kings 6:8 to verse 10, the New Living Translation. Let's talk about warnings right now. Okay? When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, he's a seer, a prophet, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The King James says of 2 Kings 6:10, the King James says, the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there not once nor twice. Now, this king saved himself. I like what the King James says over here in 2 Kings 6:10. He saved himself. Now, you and I can save ourselves if we take the warning of God. Sometimes you're sitting in church, the pastor's preaching, a word of knowledge is coming by from the pulpit, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation, sitting Sunday morning and no one knows that's happening, not that spectacular, because the pastor's office is not always that spectacular because word of wisdom and word of knowledge is flowing while he's preaching. Like you don't always have to stop and say, listen, I got a word of knowledge here somewhere. The pastor sometimes might not even be aware that he's being used, but he understands there's a flow of anointing. It feels so good. A lot of times I'm speaking like that. The word of knowledge is flowing, and people are getting answered left, right, and center. The gifts of the Spirit and manifestation, and like it's happening right now. And the Spirit of God is telling people, warning people how to make adjustments in their lives for that month, that year, or whatever, or that day. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. And so the king, the Amplified Bible says, the king of Israel sent to the place which Elijah had told him and warned him, and thus he protected and saved himself there repeatedly. Now, this is going to happen more than one time. The question is, what if he didn't take the warning? The king say that, would it be God's fault? Or would it be that, you know, would it be the king's fault? Well, if he didn't take the warning, it would be the king's fault because he didn't listen to the man of God or the warning. We have warnings. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, what God says concerning warning. Verse 17 of Ezekiel 3, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You know, the man of God here, the prophet at that time, they only had the Spirit on them. We have the Holy Spirit in us today. Every one of us has a spirit of prophecy on it. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. God will give us warnings. You don't need Ezekiel to tell you something. You don't have to have a prophet to rise up. There's not enough of prophets in the world to run around to every certain person to tell them. Now, thank God for prophets. They are seers. They'll say certain things. But you have the spirit of prophecy in you, which is Jesus. By His Holy Spirit, He can speak to you. You know, you need to get over some of these things, some religious things that people tell you that only a prophet can tell you something. No, we have the spirit of prophecy in us. He's called Jesus by His Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you. Jesus said He would. And I like Brother Hagin. He used to say, you know, when he's making plans for ministry or doing anything special for ministry, he said, you know, when I make decisions about different big things in ministry, and you ought to do the same, I'm doing the same. He said, I always go by, you know, if God doesn't say something spectacular, doesn't lead me in a certain way, I always go by this. I'll make a decision. If I don't know what God's doing, I'll just go ahead and make a decision for what I understand and according to the Word of God. I'll just go in that direction. If God doesn't say anything, I just keep on going. He said, I go as much by what He doesn't say as by what He did say. Thank God, that's a good wisdom, man. I'm going along. If I don't get a check, I'm still going to go ahead. Hallelujah, that's the word of the Lord. Keep going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, warnings that saved Jesus' life over here in Luke chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. God gave the wise men warnings so that Jesus wouldn't die. And God gave the Lord's dad, Joseph, and mom warnings so that they would save the baby or the young child. Over here in verse 12, Luke chapter 2, in verse 12, and being warned of God in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child and to destroy him. Verse 14, when he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Verse 15, and while there, he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. See, these are four prophets being, you know, there's so many prophecies fulfilled of the Lord. It's amazing, you know, people try to disprove about Jesus and the Bible. There's so many prophecies about Jesus throughout all the entire, you know, numbers of years, and you know, millennials years of how about the prophecy of Jesus and how He would die and how He would suffer and what would happen to life. All these things. People have tried to disprove that. But how could you disprove all those hundreds of thousands of years about Jesus Christ and the thread throughout Genesis out through Revelation? A lot of the stuff hasn't happened yet, but they're being fulfilled right now. You cannot disprove the Bible. The Bible is the best-selling book yet. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the Bible talks about there that they were protected. God gave warning to Jesus' parents in a dream. You know, he would say, verse 19, go to verse 19, Acts chapter 2, or Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, Matthew 2, 19 to 22. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Verse 20 says there, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which had sought the young child's life. Verse 21. And he rose and took the young child and his mother, and they came to the land of Israel. Verse 22. When they heard Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So God protected him again in a dream. And God can come in a dream. The warning of God can come in a dream, or it can come just in a premonition, as an inward witness. I remember Dr. Higgin gave a story about a man who was working in the oil fields. And one night he had a dream, and he had a dream that he was working on the pole, and he had to go up to the pole, and then something happened. He swung around, or something swung around, the rope swung around, some kind of line, and it cut his head off, and he said he fell dead. And he went to work that morning, and he was the boss told him, instructed him that he had to go on this pole. He said, "I'm not going up to that pole." He says, I dreamt last night I went up there and I died. And my head was cut off, severed, fell to the ground and died. He said, "I ain't going up there." And he felt that it was a sign from God. And so this guy's a Christian. And so another guy said, "No, that's no problem. I'll go up there myself." Well, he went up there and he lost his head and died. And so, you have to understand these things, that God can lead people. So when the boss told this man to go up to that high up on that rig, and because he had that dream, he didn't do it. So here's something not so spectacular that you could be led by a warning. Apostle Paul had a perception, and it was not as spectacular, and nobody listened to him because it wasn't that spectacular. You have to understand, God can send you something, but it might not be so spectacular, like a big dream or an angel sent to you, or a voice that you heard during the nighttime, or a cloud come rolling in, and you hear the voice of God. You know, a lot of people like to be led that way, but God leads all of us 99.9% by our spirits. So sometimes people miss warnings because they expect something so spectacular, like a premonition or an inward witness of knowing. Let's have a look here at Acts 28, Apostle Paul, verse 9 to 11. Now, when much time was spent, when the sailing was now dangerous, because of the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, verse 10. And he said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive." Now, you have to understand, he said, "I perceive." Paul said, "I perceive." He didn't say, "I had a dream." He didn't say, "An angel come talk to me last night." He said, "I didn't hear a voice in the nighttime." He didn't say, "Jesus appeared to me." He says, "I had a premonition." Now, that's not spectacular, but it's still supernatural. I said, it's not spectacular, but it's still supernatural. We're spiritual people. We have Holy Spirit in us, who is a spirit being. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And God can give you a premonition. He can give you a warning. He can speak to you, so start becoming sensitive. Paul said, "I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only in the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." So he said, "This voyage is going to be with very disastrous ending over here. There's going to be lots of damage. The ship is going to go down, and all the cargo is going to go down. And also, it's going to endanger our lives." That's a lot to say in one word. And that's what he had. Verse 11 says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." The centurion, the guy in charge, taking that's escorting him, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things spoken by Paul. Like a lot of people, they believe the news and all the people rather than the man of God. They'll believe everything else. They'll believe CNN, NBC, CBC, everything else except what the man of God is saying, what's going to happen. Now, you got to be careful because in some instances, the man of God knows what the Lord said. I'd rather stick with the man of God than to see what's going on, because they're saying all kinds of stuff out there. Paul had a premonition. People think it's weird to have a premonition. No, it's not weird. It's weird for you not to have one. You ought to be having these premonitions or these leadings from the inside of you. He didn't have an angel come to visit him. He didn't see an angel. nor a visitation. He didn't have a vision. He didn't hear a voice. Others in charge overrode that premonition that Paul had. He was very dogmatic. He said, you know, listen, I mean, you got to be very dogmatic. You got to be strong to tell the owner of a ship and the people in charge, listen, I got a premonition. I got a situation I need to tell you. Now, he was strong enough to say that because he knew the Lord was talking to him. You got to be strong as a Christian, as a man of God or a person of God to say something in a dangerous situation to help people, to save them, to warn them of problems. So don't live assumingly or unassumingly. When the south wind blew, it says here, verse 14, when the south wind blew, you know, the south wind is nice, supposing that they obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed to close by Crete, verse 14, long after there arose against a tempestuous wind called Clodion. So they were living assumingly. They were living like, you know, everything's going to be good, the sun's shining, everything's right, but, you know, things change pretty well. And here's how people live. They only live by faith, they live by sight. They only live by how things are. Oh, I'll come to church if it's nice. I'll serve if everything's good. I'll serve if that those people will make me uncomfortable. No, you got to serve God and be where God told you to be no matter what's happening. That's why a lot of people are in trouble. They walk by they don't walk by their inner consciences. We have to walk by our conscience. We can be in big trouble. Sometimes people belittle that inner consciousness or that inner leading on the inside, and when God is warning them that something's not right about this situation. I can't make this move. Acts 27, verse 18 to 21. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. Verse 19, the third day we cast out all our hands of the tackling of the ship. Now they began to throw all the cargo and all the stuff outside from the ship. And verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, so that no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved then was taken away. They were just hopelessly at sea, being tossed around. Verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He was praying and fasting. This is how he got the premonition. This is how he was able to get sensitive. Brother Hagin used to tell us the most of the time when he's led by God is when he spent time. The biggest changes in life is when he spent time speaking, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in tongues. The biggest changes in his ministry, he said, over all those years, was when I took time praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. We ought to understand this. Over here in verse 21, it says, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst. What was he doing? Just starving himself out? Having one of these protests, starving protests, or what do you call that, when you don't eat for a long time? He was praying. He stopped making coffee. He stopped getting some juice, and he just stayed in the presence of God, praying, trying to hear from God. He says in there, he said, Paul stood forth in the midst and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. In other words, you should have listened to me. You know, don't you hate those people? Listen, you should have listened to me. I told you not to touch that dog. He said, what? You said that I asked you if that dog bites. Your dog bites. I said, no, it's not my dog. You touched the wrong dog. So anyway, he said, hearken to me and should have loosed from Crete and have gained all this harm and loss. Verse 22 of Acts 27, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer. This is what good cheer sounds like, looks like. You know, if you look like this, you know, that's not looking like good cheer. But if you're going like this, that's good cheer. You're going to look like this, you know, that's good cheer. But if people don't look like that, you look like this. Oh, man, you know, what am I going to do? The Bible says, be of good cheer. Even in the midst of trouble, God telling you, be of good cheer. He says, be good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You know, it's good to be in good company when a man of God or somebody of God hears from heaven and they're in the perfect will of God. I'm going to stay close to them because there's nothing's going to touch me. I'm going to follow what they... If I don't know, I'm going to follow. I have enough brains to go with this guy because nothing's going to happen to him. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God. Here's the protection by an angel, giving information as well of whose I am, whom I serve. Verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. God told him that before. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. See, it matters who you hang around with. It matters what church you go to. It matters who you marry. It matters who you hook up in business with. It matters. It matters who are your associates. Read the Bible. It says that who you hang around with, you'll be like them. You know, you can study sociological reasoning and understand that, because you become like who you hang around with. You'll talk like them. You look like them. What's up, man? You know, you'll act just like them. You look like them. Your hair will be cut. I'm talking to Pastor Steve. My hair is going to be cut off. I said I'd cut all these things off, but I don't have that much hair on top. I'll just look like a one little lonely little mohawk with tiny little hair particles on the top here. But anyway, there'll be no loss of any man's life, and you'll appear before Caesar. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So you know what? We're come at the end of our line here with this teaching. Somebody said, praise God. You know, there's a lot of words to just digest. You might want to take it at time. Listen to this message again. Go over it. You can go on. Kendra's going to put it online right after this message when she can, because, you know, sometimes you're not permitted to put it on right away. But she'll put it on, and you can watch it again. And you can listen again. The message will be on it could be on the verbal, what do you call that? On the voice side of the, on our website, on the audio side. And you can listen to it time and time again. Or you can order a CD. We can send you a CD. I'll deliver it myself if you give me $10,000. So anyway, that's a joke, guys. Don't get mad. Don't write me a bad letter. So the Bible says that Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder. In other words, you got to be in faith. You must believe that God is pleased with your faith, and that if you seek him, he's going to reward you. Verse 7 says that by faith Noah, being warned of God, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You need to operate by faith, and thank God for that. We're